Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This hour, we're listening to some of our favorite recent conversations inspired by the top likes of 2020 on our Instagram at All of It WNYC. It's no surprise that a post about the documentary Becoming was popular. Former First Lady Michelle Obama is considered the most admired woman in the world by several different polls, including Gallup and YouGov. The film offers a rare and candid peek into the post-White House life of former First Lady Michelle Obama. On one level, the film is about Mrs. Obama's sold-out 34-stop tour in support of her best-selling memoir of the same name. We see event planning, choice of moderators, the logistics of getting a former First Lady safely into arenas, as well as intimate visits with small groups of people. Throughout the film, we see her ability to relate to and inspire women, especially young women of color. On another level, the film is about Michelle LaVon Robinson Obama becoming herself again, or maybe a different version of herself now that she can be herself, not the perfect person she felt and knew she had to be as the first Black First Lady. Part of the way we get to know more about who she is and what's important to her is by seeing her childhood home on the South Side of Chicago and hearing rare interviews with her daughters and her mom. New York Magazine's The Cut said the film, quote, like Michelle Obama will leave you with a sense of hope and optimism, watching it will give you a few hours of sublime escape. Director Nadia Hallgren joined us to discuss Becoming when it premiered on Netflix in May. Nadia has a long history with documentary filmmaking. She directed the critically acclaimed documentary short After Maria about Hurricane Maria's devastating effect on Puerto Rico. I asked Nadia about getting the job of directing this film and what the selection process involved.
So I was sitting at my kitchen table, kind of the way I am right now, and I got a call from Priya Swami Nathan, who is one of the heads of Higher Ground. And she says, you know, Mrs. Obama is getting ready to go on this book tour, and we are floating the idea of documenting it. And we don't know yet if it's going to be a film or the footage will be something that lives in Mrs. Obama's archive. But, you know, we want to know if you're interested. And of course, I was like, yes, I am. And then, you know, a couple phone calls after that. And next thing I know, I am sitting in the office of Michelle and Barack Obama getting ready to meet Mrs. Obama.
And what did you talk about? What was the vibe that you got that she wanted from this film?
Yeah, so, you know, I had 30 minutes with her, and we actually mainly talked about our upbringings, where we're from, and how that shaped us. We talked about our moms. And then when she asked me what type of film I might want to make, I told her, of course, I wanted to make a film that told her story, but I also wanted to make a film about storytelling and what it means to go out in the world and share your story and the transformative power of that. And that was something that Mrs. Obama was very interested in.
So from that first meeting to filming, how long was it?
Oh, so we hit the ground running on that. we met in October, and by November, I was out and filming with Mrs. Obama. So it all happened very quickly.
So the film covers this 34-stop tour. What was a typical day of filming like?
A typical day of filming with Mrs. Obama was always starting quite early. Mrs. Obama is always at least 15 minutes early. And so I always had to make sure I was at least 30 minutes early. So that was where a typical day started. And then, you know, Mrs. Obama, for all the tour stops that she did, she also met with smaller community groups. So we would often start the day early. She would meet with community groups, and then we would ultimately end up in the arenas and filming those shows.
So there are obviously extreme security measures that have to be taken when covering a former First Lady. And there's a scene where she kind of acknowledges to the camera, like, this is not normal. This is not how normal people live. What did that entail for you as a filmmaker, and what effect did that have on your making of the film?
Yeah, so, you know, all filmmaking comes with challenges, but a Secret Service detail was a challenge that I had not experienced before. So I had to very quickly understand sort of the choreography that happens with Mrs. Obama and her Secret Service detail, and sort of how to be able to navigate that in a way where the film still had a feeling of being intimate, but without slowing anyone down. And once I figured that out with the help of Secret Service, they were very kind in making sure I didn't trip or do anything that would, you know, sort of slow things down, then it became a lot easier.
And you actually got to interview someone from the Secret Service, and that's fairly unusual. Why did you think that was important to interview someone on her detail?
So after spending quite some time with Mrs. Obama, it was really apparent that the relationships that she had with people that her staff and the folks that she worked with and people that had been with her for over 12 years were so important to her. And they had such a wonderful familial relationship. And to me, that was something that I really wanted to highlight in the film. Plus, I just thought everyone would be interested in the Secret Service because they're so interesting. And I knew that I was. And so being able to give a little bit of insight to how it all works was a really fun part of making the film.
My guest is Nadia Hallgren. She's the director of Becoming, the new documentary about Michelle Obama's book tour. But as I mentioned, it's really about Michelle Obama as well. And there's this great sense in the film that she's aware that none of what has happened to her and the way she's had to live her life in the past 20 years is normal. But she wants to remain aware that it's not normal. Like, she just wants to make sure she stays real. After spending so much time and observing her, why is that so important to her?
You know, I think Mrs. Obama really values the community that she comes from, her growing up in the South Side of Chicago, and the experiences that she has had there, she holds so close to her. And that's something that, you know, she never wants to forget. And so I think that her ability to retain that through, you know, we see her relationship with her brother and her mom and how important it is for them to even look back and talk about those times is something she holds close to her.
Let's play a short clip. This is Michelle Obama talking with Oprah about her last day at the White House, and it really illustrates the pressure she was under as First Lady.
Yeah, that whole day was a trip, first of all, for so many reasons. So what was happening on our last day was that Sasha's and Malia's friends, who had grown up in the White House, came to me that night and was like, "We want a sleepover." And I'm like, what? You want a sleepover? We miss being here. We want our last breakfast. Because you can get what you want to eat at the White House. So all those little girls were like, "I think I'll have the fried chicken biscuit and I'm going to have the waffle." So this is what we're trying to move. And then they wake up and I got to get them out. It's like, come on, wake up. The Trumps are coming. You got to get up, get out, you know. And there are tears and there's crying and the staff is crying. And I'm trying not to cry because I said if I walk out there crying, they're going to swear I'm crying for a different reason.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm like, we have got to get it together. So it was a very emotional day. But then we got on Air Force One. And when I got on the plane, I think I sobbed.
You did?
For 30 minutes. And I think it was just the release of 8 years of trying to do everything perfectly.
That's from Becoming, the new documentary. My guest is Nadia Hallgren. She directed it. It's on Netflix now. So it's interesting that she spoke so candidly about her children, because she obviously protected them quite a bit in the White House. And we hear, I mean, it was funny, I was watching, I thought, I've never heard their voices before. And they're in the documentary briefly. So was that always in the plan, or did that take negotiation? What were the conversations about including the children? Who are young women now?
You know, it wasn't always in the plan to include Mrs. Obama's children in the film. It's something we talked about. And then, you know, there were times when we were out filming on the tour and her children showed up and we filmed and Mrs. Obama was happy to include that in the movie. And so that was pretty much how that all happened.
Something I've read about you when you were describing other work you've done is that you really look for details as a way to transmit and to bring a story to life. What were some of the details you were looking for as you followed this tour and followed Michelle Obama?
You know, one thing that stood out to me immediately when I was filming with Mrs. Obama was just the very special way that she connects with people. And it wasn't, it was something I had never seen before. The very specific way she does it, it's sort of like how she takes people in. She has this incredible ability to make eye contact with people, and her body language and the way she listens to their stories and thoughtfully responds. And when people walk away from that, the profound experience that they have, you know, I was like, that's such a unique quality. And I really want to be able to show that visually, because when you just say it, it doesn't have the same effect. And so that was one thing that I really wanted to come across in when making the film.
Another thing she's really candid about is realizing in the course of her life and her life as a political spouse, having to take responsibility for her own happiness. She's candid about that they went to couples therapy and that she needed to learn how to create her own sense of happiness. And also you get the sense that she had to hold back as First Lady sometimes, and she had to learn about to do that. As you were watching her sort of become this next iteration of Michelle Obama, what's an example of how she's not holding back now?
You know, one example now how Mrs. Obama is not holding back is in her choice of fashion. We see in the film that, you know, when she became First Lady, she grew aware very quickly that what she was wearing was going to be heavily scrutinized and talked about quite often. And so she really used that as an opportunity to connect fashion with things that she cared about. And so now that she is not in the White House anymore, she knows that she can be a little bit more expressive in her choice of outfits. And in the film, you really see her enjoying that opportunity.
Yeah, that was so interesting, her taking something that she could have been on the defensive about during her time in the White House. And that was kind of genius, going on the offensive about it. Like, I control this narrative through my clothing, and instead of having people always comment on me, I'm going to get in front of it, which I thought was just a fascinating part of the documentary. My guest is Nadia Hallgren. The name of the documentary is Becoming. As a director, and when you're in the editing room, how did you decide how much of former President Obama to include?
You know, we wanted to really tell the story through Mrs. Obama's perspective. And so, you know, we were very thoughtful about, you know, how much we included the president in the film and did not.
How much editorial control did the Obamas have over the final cut?
So the agreement in making the film was that I would go out and shoot the film. We were editing the film concurrently with just a brilliant edit team. And that when we had put together the film that I wanted to make, that I would share it with Mrs. Obama. And, you know, showing her the film was actually quite helpful, because there were parts of the film that, you know, she was able to help me even deepen from her. You know, no one knows her story better than she does. So she was able to say, in that part right there, there's another layer to it, you know, and that was such a help for me. As well as, you know, there were just parts of the film that she really loved. And so that was how we collaborated on, you know, how we would go about making the film.
Yeah, there's some very intimate moments in the film. You go back to her childhood home. We hear from her mom, which we don't hear from that often. Was there some scene, you know, every project I've ever worked on, there's some scene that you just want to get into the film or the final cut that doesn't make it, and you think about it all the time? What was that scene?
Oh, my goodness. We had probably so many of those. It's hard to point one out specifically. But, you know, she had so many more moments on stage that were actually quite funny. You know, a lot when she talks about her mom, and she does a great impression of her mom and things like that. You know, where she talks about passion and a job. And there's just all these different moments that we had in the film that, you know, for the sake of time, we unfortunately couldn't include, but, you know, we hold them close to our hearts for sure.
That was my conversation with director Nadia Hallgren about her documentary Becoming, which you can stream now on Netflix. Up next, my conversation with the late writer-director Lynn Shelton about her film Sword of Trust, starring Marc Maron.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from. whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.